This is an interview taken for the Western Sydney Women's Oral History Project, From Farms to Freeways, Women's Memories of Western Sydney. This interview is recorded with Mrs. Doreen Scott of Penrith on Thursday, the 19th of September, 1991. So if you could tell me your name and address.
It's Olive Doreen Scott. And I live at 153 Martin Street, Regionville. And my date of birth is the 1st of December 1925. I was born in Camden, New South Wales. Married, Australian born, children three. Two boys and one girl.
So how long have you lived in the Penrith area?
Over 40 years.
And you lived in the centre of Penrith most of that time?
I lived in Station Street, Penrith, my first home for 2 years, and until just nearly 12 months ago I lived in 598 High Street, Penrith.
Mm-hmm. Right in the middle of...
Right opposite things. Penrith Shopping Plaza.
Mm-hmm. Can I just ask you a little bit about your family background? You were born in Camden. What did your father do and your mother?
Well, my mother was a housekeeper and my father worked on the Wallandilly Shire. He was the powder monkey on the Razorback Old Road.
What's a powder monkey?
When they blasted the rock through to make the old original old Razorback Road, he was the powder monkey on that. He worked with Wallandilly Shire. Then Wallandilly Shire, I think it actually amalgamated to Nepean, and Nepean then amalgamated with Penrith. And when he retired, he finished up with, he was a power grader driver with Penrith City Council. Previous to that, he had two draft horses.
Oh, really?
And we had a property at Ludnam, 50-acre property with a original country home.
Mm. And you moved into the centre of Penrith?
When I got married, I moved into a little weatherboard house, which I paid 15 shillings a week rent. When we were first married, it is right... where the Penrith City Council Chamber stands today. The rock that is out the front of the Penrith City Council, it would be right in our bedroom in those days.
Mm. And it was demolished, was it?
Yes. When Penrith City Council bought the property, there was a few properties that they purchased along there, and it was right on the corner, and that's when it was demolished.
And so you were living there from about what year would that have been?
1944 till 1946.
Mm-hmm. And there wouldn't have been very much in the way of shops at that stage or other houses in that area?
It was all shops in mainly houses in Station Street, the original Nepean Times building and two other two-storey shops alongside Nepean Times, and next door to us was a woodyard where they used to cut blockwood for the army.
Oh.
And that was mainly delivered by either horse and cart or a very old truck. There was no shops really until you got down to the corner of High and Station Street, which that was Bamford's shop.
Mm-hmm. What was the blockwood for the army? Was that
blockwood for cooking, mm-hmm. and for their stove and their heating and that sort of thing. They had a contract which they delivered it to the army camps.
Mm-hmm. And after that time, 1946, where did you move to then?
Well, I had a dream of a new home, being 2 years married, and we bought a block of ground just in High Street, practically opposite where the Eastern Inn is today, and had the plans and everything ready to start building it within a few weeks. And my husband came home and said that the man that owned the little tin shed where he operated his first little business wanted to sell the property, and he would give us first offer of it. So we had to then turn around and sell the little block and for the deposit on the ground to purchase the corner site where we 598 High Street, Penrith, where we've just moved from.
And was that residential?
From opposite Riley Street, the shops were down to opposite Riley Street, or where, just not quite where the Eastern Inn is.
So on this block of land, you built the workshop too, did you, or just your house?
No, on the block of land there, right on the corner, was a closed up shop with a residence at the back. And then there was the little, small, as we referred to it, as the little tin shed where my husband started off in business. And then a little tiny weatherboard house and a vacant block. That was the block that was owned by the landlord that we rented the little tin shed off. We really only wanted to buy the part that my husband occupied. But he said no, he would sell the lot or to us or to somebody else, so we had no alternative but to sell the other block that we were buying as quickly as we could and put the deposit on the 598 High Street, which that is the one that we conducted our business from since my husband started in 1936. We moved there in 1946, and the little closed-up shop was started as a joke because he said to me, what will we do with the old closed-up shop on the corner? And at that particular time, I used to play for dancers and teach music, and I was a little bit fed up with doing that, plus going out of a night playing for dancers. And I would give that away and I would start a shop. And he said, what kind of a shop would you start there? Because there's no shops down here at all, it's only houses. And so I said, oh, anything. I will get a general store, a little bit of anything. Whatever people ask me for, I'll get. And that's what I did. So I wrote down anything someone could come in and ask me for, I wrote it down in a little book. And I would get the smallest quantity I could buy. My first stock that I purchased, I sold my piano accordion to pay for that. That's how I started the little shop on the corner, and then it became known, I think, all around Penrith that it was Scott's Corner Shop. So then it got the name of Scott's Corner Shop. And he had his little shop next door to me. Then we progressed from there and made the residence at the back livable, and we lived in that, and which was quite an ordeal in the first place because it had been closed up for many years and very old and falling, tumbling down. And we started to rebuild, so we started on the other end of the block to start to rebuild and come back to the corner. And so we lived and had our business and reared our family and built all in one spot.
And you've lived there right up until...
And I've lived there now. Right up until, yes.
Yeah. So you must have seen enormous change in that area. What was it like when you first built there? Did you have close neighbours?
No, I've really never had close neighbours. As I say, my first little house that we rented in Station Street, I had a street, Henry Street, alongside of me, and the wood yard on the other side. When I came down to High Street, I had Worth Street on one side of me, and then I had Jim's little workshop and the little old house, which an elderly man had a little tiny fruit shop right up in the main street at Penrith, then a vacant block, so I hardly ever seen him. And so I have sort of never been real close to live next door to neighbours. And
so did you feel a bit isolated, when, especially bringing up young children? And I suppose you were so busy that you didn't have time to...
Not really, that's right, because there was someone coming and going in the shop all the time, because, well, when we enlarged the premises more and rebuilt more, we put in a petrol bowser, so we opened at 5:30 of a morning, and I was very lucky if I closed by 11 or 11:30 at night. Mm. And so there was someone coming and going all the time from in the shop. And those days I used to also do sandwiches and snacks and takeaway, that they call it takeaway today. We didn't in those days. And the gravel trucks would leave their order going and pick them up coming back. So you were on the run all the time. From the time you got out of bed till you went back to bed, you were on the run all the time. And my first child, John, was born 6 months after I moved down there.
You had your hands full.
So they were all good babies and easy to rear, other than my daughter. My daughter was the one that got everything that in the way of sicknesses and things like those kind of things. But anyway.
So did you plan to have the three children, or was...
just one of those things. My oldest boy, as I say, he was born in 1946. My daughter was born in 1949, and my youngest son was born in 1951. So I had 3 years and 2 years in between. And
did you have them in the local hospital?
I had the three of them were born at Nepean District Hospital when it was Nepean District Hospital. The old Governor Philip now was Nepean District Hospital, and
that was the hospital that most people went to, I suppose.
It was the maternity hospital, general hospital, and it was everything. There was no other hospital. There was only three doctors here in Penrith those days. Dr. Barrow, Dr. Falder, and then after the war, Dr. Harry Wren came back. Mm. And
they serviced all the people,
yes,
in Penrith?
Yes, they serviced everyone in Penrith those days, yes. And
what about an emergency? Was there an ambulance service or anything?
Yes,
like that?
It was an ambulance service, yes. It was always the ambulance service, where it is now, the ambulance. But there were only... There were only two ambulance officers on duty all the time, and Mr. Slaven lived on the premises, and he would be called out 24 hours a day, so he was just on call 24 hours.
And so when you built your house there, it was a weatherboard house, I presume, that you built?
Not down in High Street, no. What we did, we built our business on the ground floor, rebuilt my shop and a spare parts shop and a workshop on the ground floor, and then a panel beating shop and the spray painting and all that at the back. And then we built our own home. It was above the shop, and we lived above the shop as
so
it is
brick,
now.
Was it?
Yes, it's red brick, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's still like it today. The red brick is our own home on the corner of High and Station and High and Worth Street.
And so was it a big home?
Yes, it was a big home, four bedrooms and a very big lounge room. I think it is about 18 foot by 33 or something like that. Wow. Lounge room is, and it's a very big home. And then we also did our front patio in, which is another 12 foot wide and another 30 foot long, and so
plenty of room for the children.
Plenty of room for the children, and we've had lots of functions there. We've had many functions there for different organisations, because I'm involved in a lot of organisations here in Penrith, and so is Jim, mm-hmm. and the children the same. And we actually rebuilt twice on the same block, and I just got it finished in time to have my mother and father's 50th wedding anniversary there. Mm-hmm. And then we've had many evenings, antique evenings and fundraising evenings for the different hospital auxiliaries and the different church organisations and different service clubs. And
this would have been during the 50s, would it? Or
50s and the 60s and the 70s, yes. And I've had my children's 21st birthday parties there and all that. Because it all opened up right through and opened up onto a big patio at the back. So there was plenty of room.
And I suppose the community spirit was fairly strong in those days too, everyone knowing everyone else.
Everybody knew everybody those days, yes. Well, we also too, at Christmas time, it was really meant in the first place probably for the children round the area of Worth Street, High Street, Union Road and that area, bottom end of Penrith we used to call it those days, and we would put on a Christmas party for them on Christmas week on the side street with a Christmas tree and give all the kiddies presents and ice cream and drinks and all that sort of thing, show them a Christmas movie. And also too, the mothers and fathers all came along, so we really never knew how many was there, because it could be hundreds there. Mm. We would clear things out and make plenty of room and all that sort of thing, and everybody got to know about the Christmas parties that we would put on and that sort of.
Indoor toilet and bathroom.
Yes.
Yeah. And did you have the sewer on there?
Yes, we had the sewer on. We had we had a large bathroom which was had a toilet, and we also had a separate toilet next door. And we also had another toilet outside on the patio.
All modern convenience.
Oh yes, hot and cold water. Yes.
And did you have electrical appliances like refrigerators and that sort of thing?
Oh yes. Mm. We had all electrical appliances, mm-hmm. and we had oil heating in the home for heating, mm-hmm. Set in a sandstone fireplace. Mm. Yes.
Did you have vacuum cleaners and Mixmasters and all those sort of
appliances? I didn't have a Mixmaster for a long time. I didn't have a vacuum cleaner for a long time either. The first I had was a carpet sweeper, other than the straw broom. And of course there was not too many carpets around. When we rebuilt, of course, we had carpet and vacuum cleaners and all those sorts of things. Yes.
What most people had board floors, did they, or lino?
Lino, mainly lino and board floors, yes, and carpets. Well, they weren't. Well, you couldn't afford them. That was the the whole thing about carpets those days, and they weren't making them anyway during wartime and that sort of thing.
And what about the telephone? Did you have a telephone service?
Yes, we had a telephone. Well, of course, we always lived on the premises with the business, so we our first telephone number was 205.
And did you have a garden or much land around the house?
Oh, well, in the backyard I had a little garden, mm-hmm. and which had the lawn under the clothesline, and the clothesline was not a rotary clothesline. It was from one end of the yard to the back wall, and a garden round the edge. That's all I had time for, with having a shop and three young children.
I didn't suppose you had time to keep chooks.
No, I didn't like have that. Any chooks.
and where did the children go to school? Was that nearby?
No, three of them went to Penrith Primary School, which was a matter of catching the bus, and fortunately the bus picked them up from right outside the front, the door of the shop, and stopped right at the door of the shop. So they were very fortunate that the bus was right at their service.
And did they go on to high school in the area?
Yes, three of them went from Penrith Primary then to Penrith High School, and they did all their schooling at Penrith High School.
And did you go to school in the area too?
Not in Penrith, no. I went to Ludnam School, and I didn't have the opportunity to come into Penrith to go to high school. As a matter of fact, my brother, older than me, was the first one to go to high school from Ludnam, and he rode his push bike from, which was 11 miles. And my education was a lot from correspondence sent out to the school at Ludnam, and the teacher would set our work, and we had to do it that way, and that is the way I did it. I did do quite a few tech courses later on. Even during the time that I had the shop and the young children, I was going up to the evening college doing different courses. I always wanted to be a nurse, but my father always said that I wasn't strong enough to be a nurse, and he wanted me to be a music teacher. So I had to be a music teacher, and I learnt music, and I studied music.
And did you teach from the house there in Penrith? After you were married too?
I taught from my parents' home at Ludnam, and before I was married for a couple of years there, in between going to work into Penrith, and I played for dances at night. And Friday night those days was late night shopping. That's the only night, was mainly the working night. I played at Warragamba in the mess room where all men had their meals on every Thursday night, and I played there for quite a few years, long before that they ever had a hall.
This was the men working on the dam?
Yeah, when the Warragamba Dam first started, I played there, and they would go, the dancers would go from 8 o'clock to any hour of the morning. Our payment was 10 shillings a night, and as I said, we were likely to go through till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. You didn't get any extra, of course, naturally, for that. It was 10 shillings. If you played for a ball, you got 12 and 6, and you also had to find your own way of getting there. And also too, there was petrol rationing and petrol coupons, and I used to get 4 petrol coupons a month. My father, we used his car, a 1934 Chev, and we all packed our instruments into that. And So with Dad's 2 coupons and my 4 and a little bit of kerosene and anything else we could mix into it, that's how we managed to travel all around the district.
Well, this was before you were married.
And that was before I was married, and that was for 2 years after I was married. Mm. Yes.
And did you have a car when you were married to get around in also?
Well, I didn't have a car, no. My husband had a car. He had a 1928 Whippet, which we nicknamed Bertha. It was a car that had gone over the Hawkesbury lookout and was smashed up, and he purchased it from the people that owned it and put it together, back together again, and done the panel beating, and so that was our car.
I suppose you needed it in this district too. Mm.
Well, it was your only means of getting around. We didn't have too many conveniences in the way of buses. Bus to Alasia in the morning and a bus to Penrith night and morning. That was all there was. So if you missed the bus in the morning, you had to wait till the night bus to get back home, other than walk or ride your bike like I used to ride my bike. That was my main means of travel, was a push bike.
It's good exercise. And did the children ride bikes too?
Yes, my children all had bikes, but being that they travelled by bus to school, well, they didn't use their bikes for riding to school. I didn't let them on the street with the... We thought the road was busy then. And It's not like it is now.
And did they go on to tertiary education after they left school?
Well, my oldest boy, he went through his intermediate was those days, and then he went back to school and did his leaving, and subjects that he wanted to take, he couldn't take because of the grouping of them. And after he'd done his leaving, I didn't know what he wanted to do or what he was going to do. And at that time, we had had the local picture theatre for some time, and he was the projectionist at the... And without him, we would have had to close the doors because with television and all coming in and all that sort of thing... None of us collected any wages out of the picture show business.
Which theatre was this?
This was the... originally it was the Dungown, which we purchased from Mr. McHorseman. And it was not a theatre then, although it was called a theatre. You have to have your licence re-endorsed if you don't show pictures every 6 months. And so we had to get the licence re-endorsed. It was skating. It had a big supper room, and we ran skating twice a week, and a dance every Saturday night. And other times during the week, we would run vaudeville shows and concerts and balls.
Were you involved in this yourself?
I was also involved in that. That in my spare time, yes, I would take the children in the pram up to clean up or clean up after. We mainly used to clean up straight after the function because we had to open up at 5:30 the next morning. So it was all hands on deck to clean up after the function. And we ran the place like that for about 5 years, I think it was, something like that, until we had the licence re-endorsed to a theatre. And when we had the licence re-endorsed, then we changed the name from Dungown purely because of the length of the name Dungown for neon signs to Avon. And it then became the Avon Theatre. And My husband's dream was to build a new theatre around the old one, and we did that all but across the front of the building, and that's where we got to when we sold it. We had it all equipped with all new Westrex equipment, CinemaScope screen and everything ready for the new building. And so that was our nighttime job, and our daytime job was the service station and the auto shelf service station. So we didn't have many idle moments.
Well, I won't ask you what you did in your leisure time. So, and did you actually run the whole theatre? Your family ran it, and you didn't employ other people.
It was a family theatre, and it was run by the family. And as I say, my oldest boy, we had a projectionist, and something happened one night and he didn't turn up, and we never seen him from that day to this. And our oldest boy was always interested in the film industry, and he got to the stage the August before he sat for his intermediate, he would do the matinee, and he used to do the matinee on his own while the projectionist just stood by and watched everything was right. So